Mpumalanga province is made up of three districts. We have Eshanzeni district, which has got four local municipalities, and the landmass is 27,895, with a population of 1,754,948. Then there's Ngangala district, which is made up of six local municipalities, with a landmass of 16,758 and a population of 1,445,624. Then the third district municipality is Gertsibande, with seven local municipalities and a landmass of 31,841, with a population of 1,135,410 people. So the province, all in all, has got a landmass of 76,495 and a population of 4,335,964 people as per the mid-year review of 2016. But we have recently received the new estimates from State SA, which indicate that the population has increased to 4.5 million. But we do not have a breakdown of the district. Then the structure of the province, we've got a provincial manager, Ms. N. Bele, who's here with us. Then there's Director of Finance and Support. That post is vacant and unfunded. But there's been some advertisement recently. Last week, we've seen advertisement of this post. And then we've got the three districts there managed by the first one, Eshanzeni, N.D. Chilwane, myself. And in Eshanzeni district, we've got 10 offices. And then out of the 10 offices, two do not have managers. So we've got two vacant unfunded posts for managers at level 12, which is a deputy director for the large office, and level 10, which is an assistant director for the medium office. And there are 12 health facilities attached to Eshanzeni district. With Nkangala district, we have got an appointed district manager operations, Ms. M.E. Makatu. Then there are seven offices. And then there's one office in Nkangala district that does not have an office manager at a level 10, which is an assistant director. Then there are nine health facilities attached to Nkangala district. With Gertsibande district, the post for the district manager is vacant and unfunded. There are seven offices there, and there's one vacant unfunded post for an office manager. And there are 10 health facilities attached to Gertsibande district. Then I'll jump this slide. It's an indication of the footprint. And then under footprint, we've got 58 offices, all in all, in Mpumalanga province. There's a breakdown there. We've got three large offices, one large office per district. Then we've got 21 medium offices. And then 11 local offices small, and 10 local offices small, which are in Tusong centers. And also we've got visiting points where we do not have structures that just go and offer services, then go back to the office. So that amounts to the 58 that we have. In terms of health facilities, we have got 31 in the province. 12 are in Eshanzeni district, 9 are in Nkangala district, and 10 are in Gertsibande district. So that is the list of the offices. I think I'll have to jump that one in the interest of time. And then on the next slide, slide 13, achievements on provincial targets for the 18-19 financial year. With a birth registration within 30 days, the target for 18-19 was 66,310. The province managed to register 66,842 births within 30 days, with a positive variance of 532. Smart card issued, those that are received at offices, the target was 279,222, and the province underperformed there with a negative variance of 39,629. The percentage of detected employers in contravention of the Immigration Act that were charged, the target is that we have to charge 100%, and we charge 71%, which were those that were detected, therefore were 800%. A percentage of detected transgressors in contravention of the Immigration Act, those that were charged, the target is 100%, and we charged 2,079, those that were detected. Percentage of undocumented foreigners deported within 30 calendar days, which is direct deportation straight to the border, the target is 100%, and we deported directly 1,768. Percentage of detected undocumented foreigners transferred to Indela within 20 calendar days, the target is 100%, we transferred 550 undocumented foreign nationals to Lindela. And percentage of detected fraudulent marriages and marriage of convenience cases finalized with investigations and recommendations submitted within 60 days, the target is 80%, and we did 16 of those. Percentage of valid invoices settled within 30 days of certification, the target there is 100%. We did not perform up to the target, which is 100%. We were at 99.94% because we received 1,631 invoices or valid invoices, but we paid 1,630. We only couldn't pay one within 30 days. But that one was paid on the 31st day. And then under civic affairs, my apology, I have to say this too. In birth registration within 30 days, we've got a target for offices and a target for health facilities. Nelspruit or Mbombela office. I'm not sure if I should go office by office or health facility by health facility. Okay. For the target for 2018-19, for Nelspruit it was 3,442, and the actual performance was 3,664. So there's a variance of a positive 222 beds that were registered, or more beds registered. Rob Ferreira Hospital, the target was 1,081.
Pumana,
yes.
Just to assist you, because you can see the numbers are not, okay. You can just summarize.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with Ehlanzeni, the birth registration within 30 days, the target was 32,963, and the actual performance was 32,932. So Ehlanzeni district was less by 31 beds, to achieve the target, so it's a negative variance. With Ntangala district, the target was 17,197, and the actual performance was 17,513. There's a positive variance there of 316. With Hersibande district, the target was 16,150, and the actual performance was 16,397, with a positive variance of 247. Therefore, the total target for the province was 66,310, and the actual performance 66,842, and the positive variance there was 532. And then the graphic representation of the birth registration within 30 days, we've seen an increase now since 2016-17, we're at 60,000, 17-18 we moved to 63,000, and 18-19 we're at 66,000, so there's an increase. Just issues around birth registration within 30 days. We had a Mashishing office that was closed by the Department of Labor due to structural challenges since April 2018. So this one also affected, you know, the taking of birth applications in the office. But we have a health facilities where the clients were referred to for birth registration. Then this office operated from a mobile office and later moved to a park home while the office was being repaired. Then the office moved back to the structure that has been renovated on the 1st of July 2019. But even then, they had a challenge of connectivity, but it was fully operational by the 8th of July 2019. And then Ngoma's office, the office was offline from 22 March 2018 due to cable theft. And also there was a problem with data line there that needed to be fixed by CETA. And then they started operating from the mobile office, they started operating in the mobile office by the 22nd of March and moved back to the main office on the 23rd of May 2019. So that also affected, you know, the registration of birth in that office. And then Middelburg office, the server crashed on the 14th of May 2018 and it was replaced, but the office became fully operational by the 25th of June 2018. With Kwamhlanga office, the office went offline from 8 November until the 31st of December 2018 due to cable theft. That also affected the birth registration in the office. With Falkrest office, the user ID for birth registration was only allocated to this office in September 2018 before the Falkrest was registered under PITRITIF. So all the births that were registered in that office were taken to PITRITIF user number. Sabi Hospital, on this one, there was no target allocated because the office was not connecting. Then in August 2018, the office was issued with a 3G. The health facility was offered, was issued with a 3G card, and they started registering births there. And then health facilities in Eastern Zenith District, there are 12. And then appointed personnel, only have got 2. And then out of the 12, we have got 6 that are functional, and the other 6 were not registering. They were were collecting the applications, taking them back to the office for capturing an issuance of the birth certificate. But even those that are functional, the 6 that are functional because they are connected, it's not every day where the system is fine. The system is very weak. So sometimes those ones are even experiencing the same problem of connectivity. And when days like that come, then the office collects the applications from the health facility and take them to the office for capturing and printing. Then with Nkangala District, 9 health facilities, out of the 9, only 2 have permanently appointed officials. And in all the 9, we are collecting the applications because we've got the problem with the connectivity. Others are not connected. In other areas, there's no network coverage. So in all these facilities, we are collecting the applications and taking them to the offices for capturing and printing of the birth certificate, then take back to the health facility to the mothers. With health demanded, there are 10 health facilities. Out of the 10, there's only 1 permanently appointed official, and there's 1 that is connecting. The rest are not connecting, so applications are collected and taken to the offices for capturing and printing. So all in all, the province has 31 health facilities. Out of the 31, only 5 have permanently appointed clerks. And then out of the 31, also only 7 are connecting. And in the 24, we are collecting the applications and taking them to the offices for catering and printing. Out of the 7 as well, those that are connecting, there are days where the connectivity is very poor, such that an application cannot be taken. So we also collect during those days. And then smart ID card offices and application volumes. For Eastern Zenith District, the target was 141,120, and the actual performance was 110,600. And there's a negative variance there of 30,520. And then with Nkangala, The target was 47,040. The actual performance was 41,651, and there's a relative variance of 5,389. Hersh Dibande, the target was 100,800. Then the actual performance is 79,813, and the variance is minus 20,987. So for the entire province, the application target was 288,960, and then the actual performance was 232,064, and the variance is a negative 56,896. But then the graphic representation that you can see from 2016-17, we're at 141, 17-18, 157, 18-19 was 232, so there's an increase even though we could not achieve the target. Then that one is a representation on the possible production loss due to system downtime, electricity, or office closures. As a province, we lost 437,179 minutes, which translated to 7,286 hours, and also translated to a possible application loss of smart ID card of 50,039 applications for smart card that we could have not taken if it were not for the system downtime or problems with electricity or office closure. Now, on the smart card applications, I've already spoken about Mashishing, and that it was closed from April 2018 until July 2019, and also Middleburg, that it was closed in March 2019 until from 8 until 7 March 2019, and also Secunda office was closed on June 2018 due to protest action in the area, and then electricity challenges that were experienced during load shedding. There was also a challenge of purchasing diesel for the generators in modernized offices before, because we couldn't get suppliers, but then that was addressed when offices were given diesel cars to procure or to buy diesel from service providers. And footprint for smart ID card and rollout. In Eastern District, we have 8 modernized offices. 2 of them are not yet modernized, but they are in the process of being modernized. They'll be modernized very soon, that is Ngomazi and Mapulaneng office, but there's also one small office, which is Sabi office, which is going to be modernized very soon. So very soon we'll have all the 10 offices in Eastern District being modernized, meaning that they'll be able to offer smart ID cards and also passports. In Nkangala District, only 3 out of the 7 offices are modernized. We've identified one for modernization for 1920, which is Delma's office. And then with the other 3 offices, the accommodation there is not conducive for modernization. So we're in negotiation with Public Works so that we can even accommodation that will suit the modernization offices. But for now, we have not received any. They are still engaging in that process. In Hersh Dibande District, all the offices are modernized. The 7, including one small office, which is Carolina office. So we do not have a legacy office in Hersh Dibande District. So this is the rollout for the modernization. As I said, we are heading for 3 in Eastern District and 1 in Gangala. Unclaimed IDs and uncollected smart ID cards. For Eastern Zen, we've got 2,318 smart ID and green ID books that are uncollected, and 6,551 smart ID cards uncollected. In Gangala, we have 1,280 uncollected ID books and 3,040 uncollected smart ID cards. Hershey Bande, we have 4,037 uncollected IT books and 14,690 uncollected smart IT cards. Then passport applications, Ehlanzeni, we have 42,155 passport applications done in 2018-19. Nkangala, 13,860. Hershey Bande, 19,925. So all in all in the province, we had 75,866 passport applications done in 2018-19 financial year. And then late registration of birth, categories 31 days to 1 year. For 2018-19, we had 8,661. Then now we have 1 year to 7 years. Then the opening balance there for 1 year to 7 years is 1,559. And then we then received 1,893. Then the total for 18-19 was 3,052, and then 7 years to 14 years, the opening balance, meaning that this is what came from the 17-18 financial year, we had 472, then we received 758, and the total applications then amounted to 1,230. 15 years and above, we received 748 from the previous financial year. Then for 18-19, we received 946, and the total amounted to 1,693. So all in all, the opening balance for 2018 was 2,378 for the three categories there. And then what we received during 18-19 was 3,597, and all in all, the applications amounted to 5,975. And then we approved 1,907 of all the categories, deferred 106, rejected 585, and then we had files that we closed, which were 140. So when we close a file, it's when we invite a client three times and the client does not turn up or show up, we then close that file. So we had 140 of those. So the closing balance as of 31st March 2019 was 3,343. Unabridged birth certificates. On this one, I would like to correct a miscalculation there. We received 4,186 from the previous financial year, and then during 18-19, we received 8,464. Then all in all, that one makes 12,450, not 11,000. And then the number that we finalized is correct, is 7,131. But the closing balance there is supposed to be 5,319. And then the number of applications that were older than 8 weeks by 31st March 2019, we had 2,024. And then we have issued equivalent letters to this number, which is 534. So an equivalent letter is a letter that is the same, or that is used instead of an unabridged birth certificate when a client has applied and the department has been unable to issue him or her with that unabridged birth certificate within the turnaround time. We then issue an equivalent letter to allow the client to travel with the child. And then amendments and rectifications and duplications. We received 3,275 amendments and rectifications and 1,020 duplications from 17-18. Then 18-19 is 1,692 and 924 duplicates. The total for 2018-19 is 4,967 and 1,944 duplicates. Finalized amendments and rectification out of the 4,967, we finalized 1,021. Duplicates, we finalized 580. The closing balance for amendments and rectification is 3,946, and then for duplicates is 1,364. Okay, local stakeholder forums, we had in Ekhangeni, we had four municipalities, and then the offices, there are 10. The municipalities that were functional, we had the four. Only one was not functional, which is Tabashewu local municipality, but they tried to convene a meeting, but it couldn't sit because of the low turn up of the members of the stakeholders forum. With Ngangala district, six municipalities, and then seven offices, only six local stakeholder forums were functional. One was not functional, which is Kwamhlanga, Temisilehani, local municipality. First, the band, Msukadikwa, was not functional. And then the rest were functional. Eight local municipalities. Out of the eight, seven were functional. The stakeholders forum. And then the district stakeholders forum in the province, we've got three districts, two were functional, only one was not functional, which is Kersibandi district. And the provincial stakeholder forum was functional. And then stakeholders' contribution to the provision of effective and efficient services. Generally, I'll say that the stakeholders' forums are actively participating. They also assist the department in advocating the services that we provide. They are also advocating around issues of birth registration within 30 days and also your smart ID card application and also collection of the smart ID card. They also assist in arranging learners to come to offices and apply for smart ID cards, and also SAPS also assist or assisted during operations, and also when we did not have sufficient immigration vehicles, they were there to assist with deportation. And then inspections, Ehlanzeni conducted 841, Ngangala conducted 512, Kersibande conducted 457. All in all, as a province, we conducted 1,810 inspections. Employers charged, Ehlanzeni charged 41, Ngangala 19, Kersibande 24. All in all, we charged 84 employers. Transgressors, Ehlanzeni charged 1,898, Ngangala 701, Kersibande 289. All in all, as a province, we charged 2,888 transgressors. And then under immigration services, again, orders to leave, we issued 341. And then letters of recourse, we received 193 applications. Only 152 were approved and 24 were rejected. And then the operations there, we conducted 27 operations. And then during those operations, we arrested or charged transgressors, 763 transgressors, 38 employers, and 791 deportations and transfers were made. And then the number of employers, as I said, were 84. Ehlanzeni, I've spoken to that one. And then we have got cases withdrawn by the court. And the reasons there, we have got the numbers there, 7 for Pesal, 1 for Pisotis, Komati Fort, Mala, Komazi, Mashishin, and the reasons are stated there, and the country of origin of the implicated people. And then deportations and transfers, so direct deportations is 1,768, transfers to Lindela, 258. So all in all, it was 2,023. HR capacity in Ehlanzeni, we've got 204 employees. Okay, the provincial office has got 17, with no the post of the PM having been filled, and she started on the 1st of September 2019. And the post of the Director of Finance and Support has been advertised. So we're left with the two office managers for Nelspruit and AZZ. And then in Kangala, the establishment there is 119. We don't have an office manager in Mbogola. Hirshibande is 98, no office manager in Bethal office. So all in all, the establishment in the province post data field equals to 421. Then capacity loss since February 2018, we've lost 19. But before 2018 February, we've lost a large number of officials, but no, that one is not included there. Then there's the equity in the province. We've got 231 African females and 172 African males, and then that equals to 403. Then we have 5 female colors, no male colors. Then we have got 1 female Indian, no male Indian. We have 7 females white and 5 male white. So the total is 12. So when you add that, it all gives you, you know, the 421. And we've got 16 officials living with disabilities. And then people management and performance. With a performance agreement for 2018-19, we were at 99.09%. We had 2 officials that did not sign the performance agreement because they did not agree with the KRA, but this matter was referred to labor, and with labor we are awaiting an outcome from them. Then the moderation for 18-19, we had 51 cases presented for performance bonus, and then 22 out of the 51 were approved, and then there was 1 case of underperformance which was presented, and then with this one, the necessary steps were followed during the reporting period, you know, where development of the official was done and support was given to her. And then agreements for 2019, we were at 99.5%, with 2 officials that did not sign. And one of the 2, the issue of KRA, and an AAP has been issued to the official, and the labor is also assisting with this one. And then the other one, is there was a grievance launched with this official, or by the official, because there's a dispute about his agreement, and that one is being attended to as well. Okay, in capacity, you know, the total days is 1,051, number of employees on pillar is 51, number of applications received 101, average days per employee is 20.6, and the total number of days for 2018 is 115. And then as of August, we had 1 employee on pillar, and applications were 2, and the number of days is 115. The skills there, we have, you know, as indicated there, and basic information. We do have officials that, you know, have been given bursary by the department and the courses that they are doing, and skills development that has taken place, you said there, and wellness programs that were done in the province, and you said there, and then counter corruption cases, we have them there, and the outcomes. And security services is listed there. It's the same as the other provinces where we've got offices, some offices that do not have security. With all the offices, when it comes to the collection of money or finances is done 5 times a week. And then the security in the offices, no alarm, there's no alarm system in the offices. And the security guards, no, for 2 during the day and 1 at night in some of the offices. And then security equipment, we do have some in some offices. Some are not functional, others are functional. So that's the status. I think in the interest of time, I will pass that on, but the information is listed there. And then the continuation of the previous slide there on security and the collection of funds. And then under finance, asset management and supply chain, the budget and expenditure. Again, there, I would like to apologize. No, it's corrected. Yeah, thanks, it's fine, it's corrected. The budget for 18-19, as a province, we had 165 million and 83 thousand. Then we overspent, because our expenditure was at 167,731,000, and then we overspent by 2,648,000, and our expenditure was at 102%. And then our assets as a province, we had 13,513 assets to the rent value of 97,405,000. 342. Then out of the 13,000 assets, we verified 12,798 to the value of 19,955,514. And then we had assets that were not verified to the amount of 715. And the value there is 6,449,827. And then the compliance percentage is at 94. I should also indicate that out of the unverified assets, we did have those that were on the floor but could not be verified because they did not have the barcodes. The barcodes had either fallen or they were misplaced. So the number, the 715, is not the actual number if we consider that we physically had the assets but we could not verify them because of the issue of the package. Invoice is paid in 30 days. I have spoken to that one. We had 1,631 invoices to the value of 8,569,000. And then we were only able to pay 1,630 invoices to the value of 102. Invoices paid within 30 days. No, those are the 99.94%, which were 1,630. But we received 1,631, so we could not pay only one. The one that was only able to be paid on the 31st day. And the reason for that was that, the office is highly constrained, and then the official that was supposed to authorize the payment was on sick leave, and we couldn't get another one to authorize because there's this segregation of duties. So we're only able to pay when he came back on the 31st day. Revenue collected from the point of sale and cash received at front offices. We collected 52,551,850 for 18-19. Fleet management, the province had 95 vehicles belonging to the department and 46 that are G fleet. And then we surrendered 4 and currently we have 137 vehicles in the province. And the lease period of offices, as listed there, we have the PM's office that has signed a new lease which started in June 2019, and then for Nelspruit it's a 3-year lease which expire in August 30, 2020, and then Hazy View, the lease will expire in 31 July 2021, it's a 5-year lease. White River is gonna expire in 30 August 2019, and a lease agreement has been signed for the period of 7 years. You know, with this one, we questioned the office manager. She said she did not know anything about this, looking at the number of years, your 7 years, because minimum we lease for 5 years. And then we engaged Public Works, and that information was given by Public Works that they are the ones that have done that. But we requested for something in writing. We're still waiting for that. The 7 years lease for White River office. And then Sokwaba, the lease now expired in 2018. And then with the rest, it's either a 3-year lease or 5-year lease. There's nothing exceeding 5 years except for White River. And yeah, that's why we have questioned that one. We are still waiting for a full report from Public Works. And then alternative accommodation. I've spoken about Nkomazi, Mapulaneng. We do have new buildings there. We're about to modernize the two offices, but we've got a problem with Gangala district. The buildings that are there, they are not suitable for our needs as a department. So we keep on engaging with Department of Public Works. We are waiting for them to assist us in identifying spaces that can accommodate, you know, our needs in terms of modernization. And that is the reason we are having only 3 offices that are modernized in Gangala district. And then with Matamu as well, this one is in Ehlandeni district. And that one, again, we are waiting for the Department of Public Works, you know, negotiating with them to assist us in identifying a suitable space for us. And then we've got 10 state-owned buildings in the province. The rest we are listening. Achievements, I've spoken to the best registration within 30 days, and that's collaborating with the radio stations for free slots, especially Radio Kuala Kuala, so that we can communicate or advocate our services to the public, and also the participation of stakeholders is also assisting us. Then the challenges and key decisions required, the issue of staff shortage, we spoken to that during the HR slide. We need more officials to be appointed, and there are no funds, if funding will be given to the department so that we can be able to fund, post and advertise and appoint. Then the other challenge is that of connectivity in health facilities. It's a serious challenge in the province, if that one can be addressed as well. And also another challenge is the reluctance for change to smart ID card. Most people know, they say to us, we have introduced the smart ID card, so we should make it to be free for everybody. And that the green ID book is still valid, they are not going to change. They change only if the green ID book becomes invalid. So we think that the solution here could be the phasing out of the ID book. And then another challenge that we have in the province is that of blocked ID numbers and undocumented learners. you know, with these blocked ID numbers, the people with blocked IDs are saying that they were told to go and apply for ID books. They went and applied before the 1994 elections, and now we are blocking the IDs. We are saying they have fraudulently acquired them. And there are a lot of people in Mpumalanga with this challenge, you know, around Nkomazi and Bushbuckridge. And we are saying, you know, we need to conduct investigations and make recommendations. But this matter has been presented to the minister, and he promised to deal with it. But I think Mr. Ramashia can maybe elaborate, because I was phoned by the chief director of immigration services to indicate that they'll be coming to the province so that they can sit down with us, so that we can start a process of looking into these issues of blocked IDs and undocumented learners. So there's something that is being done about it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mpumalanga. I'll recognize hands for our members for Mpumalanga. Honorable McLoof, Honorable Kanyile, and Honorable Ross.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I can just wish the department well. You know, listening to them every time is quite a challenge. You guys really have a challenge. And we also spoke to the issue of manpower. Now, some 10 years ago, we paid UMI online, we paid Jujima, I think, billions. And the latest APP indicates that there's still a 40 million rand left, which has been explained that those money, there are homebodies employed within the department. So when they give us a service, that salary goes off, or rather the 40 million. I want to know whether there's such cases, and maybe we must get an answer from all the provinces, whether there's such cases where they have that kind of officials. Maybe we can arrange with those Tijima guys who's owing us money to assist us on Sundays. But I'm on a mission to go look for them within the department, where they are, who they are they working. I hope I was clear on that one. But I was just thinking aloud after listening to the various challenges. Then, Jefferson, I'm still concerned about the amount of health facilities on the birds. I'm very much concerned. It still warrants, again, the challenge for us to have those role players here, the roaming issue, roaming, and can't get connectivity. The underperformance of the smart card, and it's good that we have the departments here. You know, and I listen and I nodded and smiled when being told that people said, you created this mess, I'm not going to change it. It also, again, you know, is a challenge for us to go out and do those stakeholder engagements, like the IEC. Let's do something funky and say, you know, here's your ID, smart card, you must have it. We really have to do something specifically on schools. I don't know whether I should do this on behalf of the portfolio committee, but we've lost 50,000 applications, 7,000 hours. That is a lot. And I don't want to point finger, just think aloud. If you perhaps think about CETA, there might be the problem for us for many years to come if we don't deal with them and have them also summoned to this committee to come and give explanations why we are suffering so much. Because at the end of the day, we can easily point fingers to the managers and directors around the stable or in the provinces. But after visiting the provinces, we have a much better in-depth insight of what is transpiring in there. On page 54, we spoke on transgressions. I'm worried about omission of guilt. Since when? Or how is it that someone, especially in this department, you know, I've been found guilty, and there's a admission of guilt, and people must pay. What evidence do we have to say here is a receipt, people pay, if someone have been disciplined? I know in some cases people's money have been subtracted from the salaries, which is unlawful. We need some more information on that. Then Mr. Norman took us through a lot of places last week. And Musi, they boasted interpreters in the organization. I specifically asked the question, where are those? And they have been taken. They are there. It was explained there are interpreters within the organization. But, you know, for a case, you know, reason for withdrawal, saying that four cases, no interpreters, Pakistan and two Chinese, it is a concern. I think we can do as a department much better instead of just monitor. But we must kite flying, get an interpreter from that province or that province or whatever the case. And I smell a rat when it's about corruption, it's about problems, then there's no interpreter. But when we deal with immigration and deal with people to Lindela and all of these places, there are interpreters. So I think we have to deal with that. On page 69, my inipini little plate cannot understand that the case has been finalized on an official at Waverley, processed a passport not belonging to a traveler. Processed a passport not belonging to a traveler. The case is finalized. I want to understand what are we mean by the case is finalized. And then we said we referred it to the labor relations as well. How do we get that right? I need some clarity on that issue as well. We pay Gape. Mpumalanga is not that big. We are paying over 1 point something million a month from the officers. I think we also need a list again here, Jefferson, to see who are these Omwagawagas, who are we renting. And I'm happy for the information, you know, on the question or the duration of renting officers within the organization. So I think that is important. That is all for me. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. In the and thank you for the presentation from the department. There is a slide that speaks to offices not visited, and it's a number of offices that are actually not visited. And if I caught the presentation very well, the presenter indicated that it is a department that goes and visit those offices. I need to know, what is the impact in terms of rental? Is the department renting those offices? And in terms of the service, the people that are supposed to access that service, if the department is not going to those services, how are the people that are meant to get the service are getting the service at the moment? And in the presentation, there was only one mention of the mobile offices. I think where it was indicated that the office was used temporarily while the other one was still renovated. I would like to know, what is the status of mobile offices in the province? If they are not active, for how long have they not been active? And what are the measures in place to address that? And currently, how is the department servicing community members, especially from those who cannot get to the contact centers? On page 55, there was a mention of a case that was withdrawn because a docket was misplaced. I think this is totally unacceptable, and I would like to know, what did the department do about this information? Did it maybe raise it with the relevant department, and what happened after that? Because this is just a clear indication of negligence. And we all know that in our country we have many, many cases that did not make it to court because of the missing dockets. So what did the department do about this one? Then there was an issue about uncollected smart card IDs. When we were listening to the presentation from Limpopo, they indicated that they have tried to do door-to-door deliveries, advertising on newspapers and school visitations to ensure that community members get their IDs. What did the department in Mpumalanga do to ensure that the community members, they come and get their IDs, because nothing was actually mentioned in that effect during the presentation. Another issue that I have, Chairperson, I encountered a very rude behavior in Gertsebande from one of the managers in March last year. And it was only after I had told her that I am the member of parliament that her tone changed. I also feel that is totally unacceptable. We need to treat all members of our community with respect. And I raised this issue with the department from March 2018 up until this day. I have not received any response. And further to that, when I was reporting a matter, because people, they do come to us and report their issues, the very same manager told me that I must not refer that person. For her to be able to assist that person, I must bring that person to the office. And I really cannot do that, because we are serving all members of South Africa, which are more than 50 million. So does it mean if I have to assist a member of a community, I need to take all of them in all the 9 provinces? And this information also was raised with this department. I sent an email, nothing came back to me. The last issue is an issue of late registrations, of birth registrations. I went in the very same department, it is in Gertsebande, to register mine. Our appointment was for 8 o'clock, all the mothers that were there. And up until 10 o'clock, we were not assisted. I went and complained at 10:15, and we were only assisted at 10:30. I raised that issue again because I had a concern that if a department makes an appointment and say you must be there at 8, and by 10:30 you have not been assisted, what is the point of making an appointment? And it's even worse when you have children. We know very well that our country has the highest rate of unemployment. If you are going there, you will be taken for an interview, you go with your child. And kids there, they get so restless. Some mothers did not even have anything to offer them, did not even have food to offer them. So how do you address that issue? I have sent this department an email. Up until this day, I have not received anything. I would like to know why I have not received any feedback from this department, and when can I expect a report on that effect? And Chairperson, looking at the report, there was another one that talks to Sekunda, a rental of 83,000. I'm really not sure how the department does their negotiations and what informs this kind of amount, because I have been there, I think, on the 10th of July to conduct an oversight. And when I got there, it was after I received the complaint that they wait very long on the queue and they sit outside. And indeed, members of the community were sitting outside. Some were elderly people, some were mothers carrying their small babies, were sitting outside in a very cold weather. And when I spoke to one of the senior officials there, I was told that that office can only take 30 people that are standing, and which is a fact, I saw them. It was only 30 people that were standing, and I think about 30 sitting, and 10 or 15 that were standing. Then the rest, they wait outside. And I think now it's actually going to get too hectic, because we are going into a very rainy season, and the same members of the community are expected to wait outside while the department is actually paying 83,000. I would like to know what informed that decision. In the same report, it indicated that the LISA is non-BEE compliant. What is your SEM policy in terms of BEE compliance? Can I pause here for now, Chairperson? Thank you.
Honourable Ross.
Thank you, Chair. Just two questions from my side. So the one is on the figures on page 13. again, just in terms of transgressors and undocumented foreigners and so forth. So here we have figures of 2,079 transgressors, 1,768 undocumented, and then 550 referred to Lindela. And then on page 56, we then have 1,768 direct deportations, which is correct, and then there's only 258 transfers to Lindela, for a total of 2,026. I just want to understand which is the correct figure. And then on page 52 you say that 341 were given orders to leave, so where do those people fit inside those figures? And then my other question is in terms of immigration services and the vehicles. So in the previous financial year, you'd stated that an issue was that there were only 8 immigration vehicles to now go and catch these 2,000 people, and that they were very old and dilapidated. So I don't see them here. I don't see it as an issue anymore. I just want to know what happened to fix that issue, and are the 8 vehicles up and running at the moment? And if not, how many vehicles are up and running?
Just so that we process time, we're going to take counting at 12:30, and we'll knock off at 2:15. I know our members have no problem with lunch, because we're going to a sitting at 2:00. I'm just saying so that we don't seem to marginalize. It appears that counting, we're not giving more time. We must be on alert. I'll give Honorable Pambo, and then we'll get the responses, and then we'll go to Gauteng. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm interested in the numbers on the immigration deportation on the as well.
Honorable Pambo, can you favor us with your thanks?
I thought I have a sharp short voice. So there's something very interesting. I mean, I'm still trying to link it, and I think maybe with time and in your explanations, it will sort of sift out and we'll be able to make sense of it. Looking at the numbers, it's very clear, and many of you say, you know, we speak on immigration, it's almost like it's crystal clear. You know what you're doing. You know, you can trace the numbers and so on. It looks like it. I'm also interested that if you can answer this question in the same sort of clarity as you do with the numbers. How many of the, on page 56, direct deportations out of the 1,768 are black? And can you say with clarity which countries? So for example, are these people who are being deported, majority of them African? Sorry? Are they African? How many of them are of European descent or of nationality rather? Because it seems, I mean, everywhere you look, it seems like the people who this department is mainly focused on, you know, it's Africans. So in my head, it looks like there's a targeting, right? I don't see any other foreign national. And maybe this could be explained by those who do population studies and demographics, that because we are located in Africa, therefore, you know, majority of the people who will be asylum seekers or people who would come in illegally or the excess that is, would be African. But I'm interested, also looking at the crisis that we're faced with, I still repeat, I don't think the department understands the kind of role, and perhaps even in its lack of functionality, it may not be your doing, it may be a budgetary issue and all those things, and even lack of vision or understanding of how this department ought to operate. it spills out, you know, it spills to the streets as you see what is happening in Tswana. Maybe when we deal with Gauteng, we'll be more robust and take them on. I'm really agitated for Gauteng, but this question has been boiling. You know, how many, you know, not so far from our own constituency office is a Department of Home Affairs. And sometimes I sit with those securities. And what is interesting is that not even once have I seen or met a white, person being cuffed, as you sometimes see them, you know, in your cars, or see them, you know, asking for assistance in those offices. And perhaps if we maybe go to the passport part, you will see a lot of, you know, the other race. I'm interested. I want to hear. And this is not an attack. I think this may be something that is historical, given our colonial past. But I'm interested in those kind of sort of, state of the province, as it were, as you're giving us a brief. That in our province, we deport majority African people, or we catch illegal immigrants who are Africans. You know, that kind of thing. Because this is not just the department, and I think there is a crisis happening as we sit here. And part of it, the argument is the people who we are bribing, because we're not talking about people who are pointing at each other, there are people who are being bribed on the streets, like tossed as how you enjoy your weekends, but it's a human being. So we can talk these numbers, but these have real implications. So when you deport constantly black people, subject them to Lindela with conditions that are not humanely, you then create a particular psyche or psychology or consciousness amongst our people who then carry that attitude towards fellow Africans to be something that is to be disposed with, something that is a threat in the country. So I'm saying, let us think about it a bit differently from just giving us a brief. The lack of functionality of this department has direct implications to how our people behave. Just yesterday in these debates that were happening about xenophobia, you hear one person says no, but white people have documents. That's why we're killing these ones. They base it on the document. So documentation, and so, you know, one school of thought is that, or rather, personally, I would say it's Afrophobia, and it's got its own historical basis. But even with the black government, I don't think this department understands that. That's perhaps what is not coming out of this. Okay, Chairperson, I think maybe I'll leave it there for now.
Thank you, Umalanga and the team.
Okay, no, thank you, Chairperson. I did not get the question of 4 million, the first question that the Honourable Member asked. About 4 million, it's 40 million, I don't know what 40 million is, an amount or?
Yeah, the department's APP,
yeah.
We spot something 40 million rand within its APP. We were explained that there was a contract and they actually paid it back, but people should give a service. And I want to know whether you have those kind of people within the organization, in your province, that working and the money is just deducted from the 40 million, but actually throughout the whole country.
It was in relation to Kichima. It's nothing to that arise from the report. It does make a reference that does it happen like that in but they will assist you. Thank you. The head office will take that question. Since can you just deal with other?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, there was something said around, you know, the issue of roaming officials. So obviously, that one has to do with the shortage of staff, because we need to have permanently appointed clerks in each and every health facility, and also the issue of connectivity. We need to have, you know, an effective network system that will allow us to be able to register all the births taking place in each and every hospital. No, but then that is the challenge currently. And then we are obviously underperforming on smart ID card. The reasons given, no, I've indicated earlier on that, no, people say that, no, we came up with this thing and, no, we must make them to get them for free. And also we have people that say they are poor, they can't, no, afford to pay 140 rand for a smart ID card. Others are saying that this ID book is still not legitimate. Why should I change it? And we've got professionals, literate people that are saying that, people that are working as well, saying that, no, but I have got this ID book. Why should I change it? If I take it anywhere else for a service, I'm able to be given that kind of a service. So that contributes to the, you know, the underperformance. And then with learners in schools, we do go and lobby or motivate them to come to our offices and apply. Because we are not opening on Saturdays, then most of the parents are not available during the course of the week, and we expect the learners to come with their parents for verification. But no, the stakeholders forums are assisting us in advocating, you know, for people to come and apply for smart ID card. Now the payment in court, the fines, no, we do have, they do not pay to Home Affairs. Those fines are paid in court. And then when these people are now released, there's a document that is brought to us where it's documented that, you know, this person has paid, you know, a fine of so much. Then we start the deportation process. And then with the interpreters, as a department, we are not responsible for interpreters. I think it's the court that is responsible for getting interpreters to assist during court cases. On offices that are not visited, the issues of rental and impact, you know, on people that are supposed to receive services, we call them visiting points. We do not have structures there. Before, we normally use the mobile offices to go and visit those places and offer services. But currently, the public members, they suffer, because we've got those that live in very deep, rural, remote areas who are not able to access or easily access our services in the offices that we have. So those ones, they struggle. And before, as I said, we were using the mobile units, but currently we are not using the mobile units. And they have been refurbished, as my other colleague has indicated, that they are just awaiting to be installed with, you know, the system that will, like a modernization system, that will allow us to reach wherever and offer the services that we are offering in offices that are modernized. So it's a process that has been started, and we believe that very soon there will be a rollout and we'll be able to reach out to all those, you know, villages and, you know, remote areas where currently we are unable to go to offer them services. The case of a missing docket. You know, these dockets, it got missing not in Home Affairs, but in court. Yeah, so, but then, because now this is in the hands of, you know, the police and court, if we have something like this, we then get updates from the police officers to say, we have found it or we have not found it. When they found it, okay, we have found the docket and the case will be now in court on this particular day. So we keep on checking, though not on a regular basis. And then uncollected smart ID cards and ID books. we are doing the same as you know, other provinces with ID books. We go to schools to tell learners that have applied for ID books to go to our offices. Sometimes we take even the ID book with us, because with an ID book you can issue anywhere. With the others, we look at the addresses, home addresses, and also take the contact numbers that they provide us with. Sometimes when you go to the address that has been given, you find that they say they do not know this person. Sometimes you try and call the number that has been provided, then it's not in use. So we've got this kind of challenges. Others, we do find them in the addresses that they provide. Some we do not find. Others, we do find them through the telephone or contact details that they give us, like your cell phone number. Others, we do not find them. With the smart ID card, we are working together with stakeholders to make the public aware that once you have applied for a smart ID card and you receive an SMS informing you to come and collect, you have to come to the office and collect, because with a smart card, we can't take the smart card to the client. The client has to come to the office, because we have to verify his or her biometrics before we give or issue the smart ID card. So with a smart ID card, it's kind of challenging, because it's the client that has to come to the office. And then with Honorable Kanyile, standard in office, your case, the case between yourself and the manager, I received the complaint from you via the acting DDG Civic Services, and I also engaged the office manager around all the issues that you were raising, and then she responded. I also responded formally via the office of the acting DDG on the issues that you have raised and how I engaged the office manager and her responses to that effect. Is through the communication channel through the office of the DDG.
Through Honorable Kanyile that.
Are you done with the response? No. I just finished with the responses.
Okay. And with the delay in attending to clients that have been invited for LRB screening, I may not be sure about the reasons on that particular day, but what we do when we conduct screening meetings, we invite at least a number of clients to come to the office, and then we screen individually, and I'm not sure. I don't know why did the office delay on that particular day. Maybe should I had this information before, I could have asked the manager to know the reasons why they delayed on that particular day. But we strive for punctuality, that if we, because we know of all the issues that we face, that instead of invite clients, they have to be attended on time because of these dynamics that we have been spoken to. So we try our best to make sure that we become punctual. We start the meeting on the set time. And then immigration vehicles. We when we came the other year, we did not have immigration vehicles that were in a good condition. But the department procured, they bought no immigration vehicles for us. We received around 9 immigration buckets and a big canter. So now we, I may not say that we're 100% now, but we are finally able to deport in all the 3 districts. And we do have this big one where we combine, if maybe there's a noise transfer to Lindela from all the districts and it's a big number of deportees, then we use the canter to deport them to Lindela. The issue of direct deportations and transfers. On page 56, we made 1,768 direct deportations and 258 transfers to Lindela. And the question, may I request the honourable member to repeat the question on that one?
Through you, Chair. Yeah, so the figure on that page is different from the figure on page 13. Yes, and then the other part of the question was there are 341 orders to leave, so where do those fit into these statistics?
Okay, what we'll do, Mpumalanga, work on that response. We'll give Gauteng to make presentations. And when you the respond on the issues that will be arising from members, you'll come back, Mpumalanga. I know Honorable Bamba, we'll park a question on Limpopo. We'll take Gauteng now, work on your responses. Members will then wrap up on the issues that have been raised. Thanks. Because at 1:45, we'll be disturbed by that bell ringing all over here. So we want to try to give Gauteng time to present and come back as members. Thanks.
Can we just have 2 minutes of the conference?